Lisa, are you there?
Yes.
Great. Yeah, it looks good. Okay, you have it up full screen. It looks great.
Hey, Lisa.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. This is interesting. This is Brian. I've got in early, but I've never done this before. I didn't know that I even had a mic on this thing, so it sounds okay?
It sounds good.
Perfect. All right. Then I don't have to call. Perfect.
Lisa, so this is Jeff. Are you using just an external microphone on your computer, or are you calling in to the number?
I'm using an external microphone with a USB port.
Okay. Okay.
How does it sound?
It sounds good, but I can hear the microphone moving or something moving. Do you have a headset for a telephone at all?
I do.
It might be better to do that. You sound good. I can hear some stuff moving around.
Yeah, this is Brian. I'm not moving anything around. Is it possible somehow you're hearing something background from me?
It could be. I'll mute you for now, Brian, and we'll see if we hear it anymore.
Okay.
So, Jeff, are you still hearing it?
Not really. Go ahead and just keep talking, Lisa.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're about 7 minutes to get started.
Yeah, you sound good. You sound good. I think it might have been from Brian.
I could have been moving around in my chair, too. I'll try to sit still.
So you just unmuted it,
Brian,
did it?
Yeah,
did it come back?
No, so it sounded good. I think we're good. Okay. I think it may have been Lisa just moving around in her chair or something.
She's always squirming around.
Squirming around.
I'm going to get a different chair. I'll be right back.
Hey, got a question for you guys, Jeff. I've got this big, kind of like the directory thing on the right-hand side, which covers over part of the screen. Should I leave that there, or minimize it, or?
Yeah, there's a little red arrow at the top of it. You'll see on the left-hand side of it.
You can
push that red arrow, and it slides everything over.
Oh, there we go. So then, okay, good. Because in case
you can even move it down a little bit if you need to.
That's fine. But I suspect I'll be muted unless I'm asked to talk or want to talk. So
I would say we should mute you. We should mute everyone except Lisa's going to be doing most of the talking, right?
Exactly. So
okay. So I think we should mute everybody except her, and then at the end, if you want to open it up, we can just unmute all the people on the staff list.
Okay. So I don't need to do anything to make myself active. You control that completely. So I can have that whole thing minimized, and there's nothing I need to look at.
Right.
Other than I can check out the number of people once in a while.
Yeah, you can look at, I think you have the attendee list maybe. It looks like there's 11 people already joined.
Okay. Actually, all I'm seeing is 3.
Okay, so you're on the staff list?
Yeah.
So if you look, there should be an attendee list as well. Maybe there isn't for the staff.
Oh,
for you guys.
It doesn't look organized.
Is there a tab right by the attendees, or that says attendee right next to the staff list?
What it has, staff 3 in the names. Then I come down, and then.
It should be just to the left of that. You should be another tab that says attendees. But you're a panelist, so you may not have that actually on your computer.
Yeah, I'd be sort of interested nobody can hear us, right?
Yeah, everybody can hear you.
Oh, we can all hear. Hi, everybody. Okay.
Did you start the broadcast, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay. So we're live. Okay.
Okay, well, I'm out.
period.
Good afternoon. This is Lisa Debrecare. I'm the West Coast Governor's Agreement Coordinator, and we're here today to talk about the Regional Ocean Partnership Funding Program and concepts to inform the West Coast response to the federal funding opportunity. I want to start off with a few housekeeping and agenda items. There will be a question and answer session at the end of the webinar, so if you would like to ask a question, please do so either through the chat or the question dashboard that you see to the right of your screen. And as soon as the webinar is done, I'll start to process as many of those questions as I can. If your call somehow gets dropped during the webinar, please don't hesitate just to redial. That occasionally happens, that your line will get dropped, especially if you're using a cell phone. And I wanted to remind everybody that the webinar will be posted on the West Coast Governor's Agreement website shortly after we're finished with it today. So I'll go through a little bit of the agenda. I'll talk about the background leading up to where we are today, the input that we've received to date, a synthesis of the information, the approach that the West Coast will be taking, a proposal structure, and then answer any questions via the online chat tool or questions that you ask. Just a little bit about the background. The National Ocean Policy Task Force issued a series of recommendations in July of 2010 that created the first ever national ocean policy and strengthened our governance structure for oceans through the development of the National Ocean Council. And in that document, they articulated 9 priority actions, of which coastal and marine spatial planning is one of them. Following that, NOAA issued a Regional Ocean Partnership funding program in September of 2010. It's competitive funding for regional ocean partnerships that include and emphasize regional, coastal, and marine spatial planning. Its purpose is to advance effective coastal and ocean management through regional ocean governance. And there are 2 primary categories of funding: Focus Area 1, for activities that contribute to achieving regional ocean partnership priorities while advancing CMSP, and Focus Area 2, regional ocean partnership development and governance support for existing and developing ROPs. NOAA designated the West Coast Governor's Agreement as the existing lead ROP for the West Coast, and what that means is that proposals must directly involve or include a letter of support or endorsement from the West Coast Governor's Agreement, and the deadline for proposal submission is December 10th. I'd like to talk a little bit about the approach for the West Coast. We will be submitting two proposals. The first will focus on Area 1, and the second will be for Area 2. And the idea is to link both of those proposals to achieve regional outcomes. And I can't emphasize that enough, that although Focus 1, Area 1, is primarily CMSP related and Focus Area 2 is more about regional governance, we can't realize the vision that we have for the West Coast without the both of them coming together and working together. And so our goal is to link those proposals, even though they will be submitted separately. We also want to inform you that the West Coast Governor's Agreement has enlisted the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation as its fiscal sponsor. And we're very excited about that for a number of reasons. National Fish and Wildlife Foundation is national in scope. They have an interest in ocean issues, and they also have an interest in leveraging any funds that we might receive for ocean issues on the West Coast. And so having them as a fiscal sponsor will be very helpful to the West Coast Governor's Agreement. I want to talk now about the process that we've developed to submit the proposal so we can remind ourselves of where we've been and where we are in this process. On November 3rd, we issued a scoping document that was an attempt to bring together a great deal of information about a lot of the work that has taken place to date, including the completion of the West Coast Governor's Agreement Action Plan and the corresponding Action Coordination Team Work Plans, as well as a number of activities that have taken place through our many partner organizations and other entities all along the West Coast. In addition, that scoping document provided a great deal of synthesized information relative to not only the priorities that have been established for the West Coast to date, but the regional and other criteria that are included in the NOAA proposal. And then on November 8th, we provided you with a variety of tools to give us ideas and feedback to inform the development of the proposal. We created three ways for you to submit ideas: send email comments, complete up to a 500-word essay, and then submit detailed ideas via an online application tool. We then held workshops in California, Oregon, and Washington, and those concluded on November 16th. And at those workshops, we basically asked three questions. What are some overarching themes that can help drive the agenda and inform the development of the proposal? Are there any priorities that are emerging and why? And are there any consensus ideas that we can carry forward? We posted the summaries of those state workshops on November 23rd on the West Coast Governor's Agreement website. And here we are today on November 30th with the webinar. And you have until close of business on December 3rd to provide us with any feedback to date on all of this process, as well as especially the content of this webinar and how we propose to move forward. And then, of course, the proposal will be submitted to NOAA on December 10th. And we will provide a copy of those proposals on the West Coast Governor's Agreement website that same day. I'd like to talk now about what we heard at each of the different state workshops. And I'll start with California. We heard six primary key priorities out of California. They dealt with information expansion and accessibility, sustainable coastal communities, climate change, the integration of tribal science with Western science, implementation planning, and leveraging existing collaborative efforts. In addition to that, we had a number of breakout groups in California, and they focused on data collection, data synthesis, and one of those data synthesis groups had an emphasis on climate change, sustainable coastal communities, tribal concerns and issues, strategic planning, and renewable ocean energy. And I hope all of you have had an opportunity to look at the West Coast Governor's Agreement website and look at the fairly lengthy descriptions of what happened at those workshops. And so my goal here is not to describe those in detail, but just to point out some of the key high-level pieces of information from them. In Oregon, we also heard six key priorities. One was to standardize socioeconomic data. Another was region-wide data collection, analysis, and synthesis. One focused on filling in data gaps. Another, stakeholder engagement. And then there was a great deal of discussion about this concept of integrated ecosystem assessments, the idea of analyzing physical, chemical, ecological, and human processes in relation to specified management objectives. And lastly, there was some focus on target areas of emphasis where the West Coast can excel and perhaps serve as a pilot or a model for other regions in the country. The breakout groups in Oregon consisted of data portals, data synthesis, and there were three that focused on decision support, as well as public engagement that included socioeconomic impacts, and then context and strategic focus. At the Washington workshop, we also heard six key priorities. One of them was including marine resource committees throughout the entire process, identifying and designating important ecological areas as well as habitat mapping, developing a solid framework and infrastructure to propagate mapping, including data from fishers and recreationists and other individuals, analyzing data gaps and defining metadata for the use of seafloor mapping, and then stakeholder engagement and public outreach. And the breakout groups in Washington discussed data collection, data synthesis, public engagement, climate change, and decision making. And in Washington, they also had a particular focus on governance and problem identification. I'd like to now kind of coalesce what we heard at all three workshops and discuss some cross-cutting themes. So we're going to package these in three different ways, and one is to first talk about needs. What we heard loudly from all three states is that there is this need to deal with data, data synthesis and data portals, and data collection, things like seafloor mapping and socioeconomic data. The second kind of area or key issues that we heard that there was focus on was sustainable communities, renewable ocean energy, and climate change. And the third, or the some of the strategic approaches that we heard, were about leveraging existing efforts, engaging stakeholders, and having a real regional coordination and approach to managing the ocean issues. So those were the cross-cutting themes that came out of the state workshops. I'd like to now talk about the cross-cutting themes from the website submissions that we had. Up until about 2 days ago, we had received 23 email and 500-word essays. And again, I'll use those similar categories. So from the website submissions, we heard a need again for data, for mapping human uses, for seafloor mapping, and for habitat and species surveys. We also heard about some key issues like climate change, sustainable communities, and marine debris and pollution. And then we were encouraged to think about strategic approaches for engaging stakeholders, identifying and protecting ecological areas, using and leveraging existing data sets to inform. And again, this concept of a regional integrated ecosystem assessment with a focus on ecosystem-based management. And I now want to talk about what we heard from the online, the detailed ideas, the project ideas from the online application tool. We also received 23 detailed project ideas, and you'll see an asterisk next to the word submissions. Three project ideas. Some of those ideas were submitted from region-wide networks of professionals and not just one individual, for example. We had a project suggestion for integrated ecosystem assessments that came from 24 scientists all along the West Coast. So they represented, these 23 project ideas represented an incredible number of partners in individuals and entities along the West Coast. But the submissions came from California, where we received 11, Oregon, 8, and Washington, 4. And the total summation of what was requested for year one for all 23 submissions was $9.4 million. In year two, total funding requested was $9.1 million for a total of $18.5 million, which kind of puts into perspective where things are with a total $20 million proposed funding package from NOAA. And at this time, too, I also just want to remind folks, as we did during the workshops and throughout this process, that that NOAA funding is pending congressional approval at this point. So let's talk about the online application tool submissions and some of the categories that we put them in. The first was data synthesis and collection, and again, including socioeconomic data, which was an important topic that we heard from a lot of places. In that category, we heard ideas about coordinated regional displays, a framework for the West Coast, a pilot project that could not only serve perhaps the region but the nation using this IEA concept, a California geospatial coastal and marine data information management system, a spatial analysis project to help site ocean renewable energy, and a three-dimensional synthesis of ecological data for CMSP. We also received two project ideas for demonstration projects, one related to an application of video analytics to count human uses of ports and beaches. The other was a Southern California pilot field study to deal with fish impingement mortality in entrainment reduction technologies. We had one specific to modeling, and that was to unify West Coast seafloor mapping efforts. And we heard four related to CMSP regional planning processes. Two dealt primarily with stakeholder engagement and outreach. Another one focused on using the EBM network to connect national and regional priorities to coastal communities. And the fourth expanded the National Estuarine Research Reserve System Coastal Training Program Network. We also heard three ideas about decision support tools. One talked about expanding MarineMap to enhance participatory decision support for CMSP. And another talked about transforming complex long-term data into relevant tools for planners and policymakers. The last one focused on mapping coastal human uses on the West Coast. We heard two ideas about coordination, one related to coordinating regional federal programs to assist in ROP implementation of coastal and marine spatial planning. And the other was a proposal to conduct a workshop to assess the research and information needs for CMSP on the West Coast. We received two ideas for habitat in the habitat category. One was a cross-regional nearshore fish use as a vector for ocean literacy. And the other described expanding monitoring rocky intertidal reefs to include areas that are particularly susceptible to high risk of oil spills. We heard one focus solely on outreach, and that was a documentary for Ocean Frontiers. And we received two climate change ideas, both related to sea level rise. I want to emphasize here that the categories that these are in are fairly subjective, and that any one of us could likely have moved one of the decision support tool ideas into perhaps a mapping category or a data category. So there was some fluidity to where we put some of these, and I don't want us to get too hung up on that at this point, especially as we talk about the kind of buckets that we put some of this information in. So let's talk about those buckets. After we looked at what we heard from the state workshops and the online submissions, we started to really hear some emerging themes that we could group and that could serve as the context for the West Coast funding request. And what we think we heard loud and clear was this need for data, this need for a tool or a framework to manage and use that data, and then this whole effective outreach and engagement component. And so we try to think about the concepts to inform the proposal in these three major areas. But we also thought about something else, and that is, around those three areas, is there a way that we could put a wrapper around those three buckets and sort of frame the proposal with an overarching theme? And what we'd like to propose to you is that we really talk about all of those buckets, those three buckets, in terms of sustainable coastal communities and this balance of the economic health of our coastal communities with these environmental protections to ensure long-term sustainability of our coastal communities. So as an example of that, we can think about renewable ocean energy, which is a fairly new alternative use of our oceans. And so if we think about renewable ocean energy in making smart choices about where we site renewable ocean energy, then we end up in a place where we generate energy for coastal communities and other places. It's healthy for the environment. There's no degradation of the environment that goes on. And so there's this sort of balance of the economic health of our coastal communities with the environmental protections. You could say the same for sustainable fisheries, healthy habitats, and a lot of the other categories, so that we know if we have healthy and sustainable and vibrant coastal communities, that we have a healthy ecosystem, clean beaches, solid tourism, commercial fishing fleets that are productive, marine ports with a solid infrastructure, cultural tribal activities that are important, and all those sorts of things. And so our proposal to you to get your feedback on is that we'd like to frame our proposal around this whole idea that the driver is sustainable coastal communities in the vision for that into the future. And what I'd like to do now is just is poll you and to see what you think about that, so that you can tell us if you like that idea or don't like that idea. And again, it's just the wrapper around which we would frame the proposal. I'd like to talk now about focus area one and the specifics of how we're going to build the proposal. What we have decided to do at this point is that focus area one, which has a marine spatial planning focus, that we are going to request $4 million. And that the three buckets where we would like to request that money to go to are tools, data, and regional management processes. Okay? So the tool bucket, we would like to request $2.5 million for, and that's to build this data framework and portal to improve capabilities for data access, sharing and synthesis, and consistent data standards. And that also to build some decision support tools. The second bucket, which is data, would be for $1 million, and it would identify important ecological areas and habitats, as well as identify human use activities at relevant scales. And then the third bucket would be regional management processes to establish the regional planning body for the development of West Coast CMS plan. And then this whole concept of participation, engagement, and collaboration, as well as increased awareness and knowledge relative to West Coast ocean issues, and $500,000 in that category. So what this chart does is describe outcomes that we would like to achieve based on the ideas that you gave us and what you've told us to date. Okay? These are the specific outcomes: a data framework, decision support tools, identification of ecologically important areas, identifying human use, enhanced communication, establishing the regional planning body, and increasing awareness and knowledge. And I want to emphasize the statement at the bottom of the slide that this isn't a short-term vision, that the products from these outcomes will help lay the framework for a regional plan for the West Coast long term, and that this NOAA funding opportunity is one step in a long journey towards achieving that long-term vision for the West Coast. The focus area two piece would relate to regional ocean partnerships in a tribal engagement, and it would be for $300,000. And if you recall, there's $3 million available for that across nine regions. And so we had just one bucket for this, and that was administration of West Coast Regional Ocean Partnership, and that's to operate and manage the West Coast ROP, including engagement with the tribes. I might give you some initial feedback on the poll that you just took. 90% of you approve with the concept of framing the proposal around sustainable coastal communities, and 10% said no, just for some initial feedback. So in terms of the proposal contents, this is where we're at. One, we propose deferring naming entities to actually carry out the work and instead focus on describing the outcomes to be achieved and how much it will cost. So in other words, describe those three buckets, and of course, for the second proposal, that one bucket, describe the specific outcomes that we want to achieve. So of course, we would go in much greater detail than what's in those little boxes. And then how much those would cost, so $2.5 million for the tools, et cetera. But we think deferring naming the actual entities to carry out the work at this point is a good idea. And that instead, in like what one other regional ocean partnership is doing, describe the process for developing requests for proposals after December 10th. What this does is it gives you more time to get together and network. We'll understand then, after we potentially receive the funding from NOAA, exactly how much we'll have and how much we have to work with. And then we can be more strategic in terms of working with you, understanding how much we have, and sending out proposals where you can really spend time developing detailed proposals. And so the request will be, the estimated amount we'll be requesting to summarize is $4 million for Focus Area 1 and $300,000 for Focus Area 2. And again, the reminder that potentially only $20 million will be available across 9 regions, but the West Coast Governor's Agreement really believes that the stakeholder process that we've spent a lot of time on with you over the last month and a half has really built sort of a robust mechanism for us to ask for that amount of money, that we think we received some excellent ideas to help frame where we need to go as a region. And so we just are going to put that out there and see what happens. So at this point, I'm going to try to answer any questions if any folks have questions. And I'm looking here to see if anybody has any questions that they would like to ask. You can feel free to type those in the chat, or go ahead and just send it as a question. And I'm also going to unmute a couple of our panelists in case they would like to add anything or would like to help respond to the questions as well. And I'll give folks about a minute to see if we've got anything coming through, and if not, we'll just go ahead and end the webinar. And Jeff, I do have a question for you. I'm seeing question marks, but I am not seeing the question box to actually see the questions.
Lisa, Jeff, if you open it up on the interface, there should be a questions. There should be a little arrow that you can hit. I'm seeing a lot of questions actually come in where it pulls it away from the interface. And then you can open it up on your screen, and it'll show you all the questions that have come in. Do you see that?
No, I just, under the attendees, I see the question marks.
Oh, right. Yeah, you want to go down below, or actually go to view, and then select questions. So view at the top of your interface.
Got it.
And then select questions, and then you should see it. Do you see it?
Yep, I do.
And then you can open it up big on your screen. And
okay. So one of the questions was, I thought the workshops were going to be posted. I have not found them. They are on the West Coast Governor's Agreement website, and it's on the comment page. And you'll see them on the comment page.
Hey, Lisa.
Yep.
This is Bob Nichols. Are we supposed to be, I'm here with Jessica, are we supposed to see the questions, or can we see the questions? We're confused on that point.
I don't believe, Jeff, that they can see the questions, can they?
No, they're just posted to you, so.
Okay. All right. So, in other words, if there's a question that we could be helpful on, you'll prompt us. Is that right, Lisa?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and try and answer it, or if I can't, I will ask for your help as well.
Gotcha.
Here's a question from Lisa, and it said, I voted yes on the poll, but I do have a concern. If waiting becomes necessary, will economic health outweigh what is best for environmental health? And Bob, you may want to answer that. I can't tell you so far that there's been this discussion of balance, of balancing the economic health of coastal communities with the environmental health of our coasts.
Well, yeah, so I think that the whole notion of sustainability is that these are not seen as competing with each other, but as finding ways to integrate the environmental concerns with the health of the local communities. And so we're not, I mean, I think that it's a bad move if we can see this as an either or a versus question, but we look to find ways that these can work together. And I think that's what we need to emphasize here.
Okay. Somebody asked, is it the intent to put all submitted ideas out for bid? From John. And John, I think the concept is to describe the outcomes we would like to achieve based on all of the ideas that you submitted to us to date within those three buckets or categories. And then once we learn if we receive any funding from NOAA, what that dollar amount is, we will then put out RFPs based on sort of that dollar amount in those buckets. So the one thing the West Coast Governors Agreement didn't want to leave you with was this idea that you've sort of wasted time putting your ideas together, because those greatly informed how those buckets ended up in what we're ultimately requesting from NOAA. It was work very well served, and on behalf of the West Coast Governors Agreement, we all want to thank you tremendously for the time and effort you've put in for this potential funding.
Yeah, this is Brian Baird, and I think the fact is that, you know, we obviously cannot do it all. So, no, we definitely would not be submitting, asking you to kind of resubmit everything that was submitted to this point, but hopefully we'll have a greater focus once we come forth with this proposal and receive the funds. But this information was absolutely critical in shaping where we are.
The next question is, what is the likelihood and aim of the possible additional $10 million that could be available later in FY11? I don't think any of us know the answer to that question. I'm not even certain that NOAA staff do. We don't know the answer to that. Can we submit a 500-word proposal by December 3rd? Absolutely. Any of you, the public comment period is open through close of business on December 3rd, so any additional comments, guidance you would like to provide us, we would greatly appreciate, so please do. Somebody asked me if I could go back to the screen on tools, data, and outreach ideas to be included. I can do that. And again, this will be posted on the website as well, so if you still need to see that. Will you be posting the slideshow somewhere where we can access it? Yes. We will not only be showing the results of this webinar on the West Coast Governors Agreement website, it will be in a Windows Media file a few minutes after the webinar, but I'll also go ahead and post a PDF of the slideshow itself. How will some of the project-specific ideas be described in the anticipated outcomes? Well, that's going to be our challenge over the next 8 or 9 days, is to, and you've seen elements of that already in the slide that's showing on your screen right now. You should be seeing some words that are recognizable to some of you that are directly out of the proposals, the ideas, the words that you said at the workshops. Those are absolutely reflected on this screen. And so what our goal is then between now and December 10th is to really blow up those ideas and provide more details. And we may have to come back to some of you to get some of that detail, but you, frankly, you did a great job with the online submissions. And we think we can extract most of it from that. Will you be listing any partners in the proposal? Absolutely. The partners that all of you listed in your project ideas, all of that will be listed. In addition to that, all of you that participated in workshops, contributed ideas, all of you are partners in this whole process and will all be listed in the proposal as well in an appendix. What is the time frame for the award to the West Coast Governor's Agreement? And then what would be the time frame for the West Coast Governor's Agreement soliciting more detailed proposals and the time frame for making decisions on those proposals? Okay. And Bob, Jessica, Brian, maybe you can help me on this, but the deadline's December 10th. I think they're going to award by July of 2011. And then as soon as we know anything, we will be ready to kick those RFPs out the door. And I don't think you're going to see a long process.
So
I don't know that I can add more to that. We understand the importance of this in getting things happening on the ground to achieve those outcomes as quickly as possible.
So this is Bob Nichols. Just to add here a critical caveat, which is we don't know how this is all pending congressional funding and how that pans out. We cannot say at this point. So that's one cautionary note. I think and I also want to draw back to the earlier question in regard to the $10 million that NOAA has pending, I think, within existing funds and how they want to handle that. And we don't know the answer to that either. But those are two kind of critical variables that also will come to play in responding to this question.
The next question is, how do you plan to use existing data portals already supported by NOAA funds and programs? That concept came up at every workshop. It came up through the online submissions in the detailed project ideas. This whole concept of leveraging existing data portals, existing programs was a huge theme. And so the plan for that will be articulated through the RFP process for sure and will be strongly emphasized in the proposal that we submit. Somebody asked, how can we help with the production of the proposal itself? Do you need further assistance beyond the proposal suggestions? I may have already hinted at that as we sit down and put pen to paper, it's very likely that there'll be some questions that we need further fleshing out on. You certainly are the experts in a lot of these areas, and so we will likely be calling on you. And any assistance you can provide us will be greatly appreciated. It was mentioned that the underlying funding is subject to congressional approval, and emerging legislative leadership with jurisdiction over these types of endeavors has already made public threats to curtail funds for any marine spatial planning. What is the current assessment of the chance that funding will survive the new House of Representatives? I'm going to turn that one to Brian or Bob.
This is Brian. We just don't know. There was the new chair of the House Resources Committee did make some public statements that he plans on going back and revisiting many of the initiatives of the Obama administration, and did specifically point out marine spatial planning as an area that he wanted to revisit or investigate. So we don't know really any more, at least I don't know any more than that, and I don't know whether Bob or Jessica has anything to add.
Sure, Lisa, this is Jessica. One thing that I think we have it to our favor is that the funds are for regional ocean partnerships, and there are two pieces. So there's one that goes to support of the existing and growing, or there's ones that are developing the regional ocean partnerships, and that it just so happens that these funds have an emphasis on marine spatial planning, but technically the funds are to support the broader effort. So I think that might be one thing that we can all work with our congressional delegations to explain, that these are for regional ocean partnerships. And so we don't need to emphasize the marine spatial planning piece so much. I think there are some opportunities ahead of us.
Thank you, Jessica and Brian. The next question is, do you have a sense from NOAA about how well a general proposal like ours will be received versus one which details specific objectives, partners, and costs? Well, there will be some specifics for sure in our proposal, but what we know is that stakeholder engagement was an absolutely critical piece to the NOAA proposal, and we believed that having and spending a lot of our time hearing from you what you believe across the West Coast is important was an absolute first critical step, not only for the $20 million potential NOAA grant, but for all of the steps that need to be taken after that for the development of a West Coast CMS plan and to realize the vision for the West Coast as a whole. So we believe, based on feedback that we've already received, based on our conversations with other regional ocean partnerships, that we are definitely in the game with the approach that we've taken. No other regional ocean partnership has engaged with stakeholders to the degree that we have in the short time period that has been made available. And we are very comfortable with where we are in terms of that. If an entity applies to the RFP that you will eventually release, who will make the decisions about which entity is chosen to do the work? Well, when the RFP is released, it will be released from the West Coast Governor's Agreement, and Jessica, Brian, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but will you be the deciding body?
Somebody gonna pipe in? I guess I'll pipe in. Yeah, I think it's the executive committee that I believe would make the decision. I think that principally the three states, state representatives, assisted by our federal partners. Although in this case, one of the federal partners is NOAA, so I don't know exactly how we're going to deal with that since they're the entity that is providing the grant funds. But yes, it would be. The executive committee, and I think primarily the state representatives making the ultimate decision.
And it will be very clear what the criteria are relative to the RFP as it's sent out, so that it should be very clear how the decisions will be made and how those ideas and proposals will be ranked. Somebody said they missed the details about the Focus Area 1. That's now on the slide, so I hope you now have that. Would administration of the ROP Focus Area 2 create a separate entity from staff administering the West Coast Governor's Agreement? Jessica, Brian, or Bob, would you like to address that one?
Can you state that question one more time and make sure I got it? Bob.
Sure. Would administration of the ROP, and in parentheses, Focus Area 2, create a separate entity from staff administering the West Coast Governor's Agreement?
Now, there's a reference to an IRP, did you say?
ROP.
Oh, ROP. There's a distinction here, and unfortunately, the initials get kind of confusing. There's a regional ocean partnership of which the Western Governor's agreement is the regional ocean partnership for the West Coast. That's in the federal document. Then there is a marine spatial planning body for CMSP that's separate, that is, you know, can be aligned with or separate or however we want to organize, separate from regional ocean partnership or part of, and that's kind of the structure that needs to be identified. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the question was in regard to Focus Area 1 or Focus Area 2, but I think it's very important to kind of keep those distinguished. We've tended to do the Focus Area 1 as marine spatial planning and the Focus Area 2 as with the broader regional ocean partnership.
Okay. Each meeting summary included data as a priority. What types of data and formats are you referring to? Well, I would encourage all of you to go back and look at what came out of the workshops. That's all posted on the West Coast Governor's Agreement website. It talks about all the different kinds of data. The data gap that exists in California that doesn't exist in Washington and Oregon, some vertical seafloor mapping data, human use data, ecologically important areas and habitat data, oil spill susceptible areas data, that sort of thing. So we've had a number of suggestions about data, and it's listed in all of the documents on the website.
Lisa, I think what's going to be important here is that in this proposal, I think we're going to set up an infrastructure, and to the degree that we can have access, improved access to certain types of data. But I think what's going to be very important is that the infrastructure is established that's expandable. So we are, laying the groundwork for whatever we're able to do with this initial amount of money. But certainly with additional funds and so forth, I hope that we'll have a system that is ready to go to be applicable to a wider range of data ultimately.
Great. Somebody said, by not picking specific project teams, we lack the ability to show the strength of our collective team. Many of the East Coast ROPs are proposing specific projects with detailed approaches and teams. Do you think the West Coast Governor's Agreement approach is competitive without any detail? Well, I think I just need to remind everyone that a 23-slide PowerPoint presentation really can't capture the level of detail that we'll be including in this proposal. So it's just a matter of, we wanted to give you this kind of high-level presentation, but I can assure you that there's going to be a significant level of detail with a focus on outcomes, that it won't just be just some empty proposal that we're submitting. That's a repeat question. Oh, somebody asked that the question, previous question they asked was not about the posting of written reports, but the posting of the meetings so that we can see and hear what people said in other states. The only meeting that was taped, and only a small portion of it was taped because most of the state workshops were all about breakout sessions and each of you networking with one another to then share your ideas. We only webcast one of the state workshops, and that was California. So there is no other way other than the workshop summaries that you can see and hear what people said.
At least the website directs them on how to watch the California event.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Somebody asked if we could talk a little bit more about the second proposal on regional governance, and I'll go to that slide. Brian, Bob, Jessica, do you want to weigh in on that, what this means?
Well, this is Bob Nichols. So two things here, focus area two. We have the Regional Ocean Partnership, which is the West Coast Agreement on Ocean Health. And so there is a lot of priorities that have already been identified and ongoing now since the formation of the West Coast Governor's Agreement. 4 years ago, so the request for funding here is to help support that ongoing and continued effort. The second part of this, however, is very important because the federal request for proposal here or funding opportunity really asks and requires that the tribes on the West Coast be involved in the regional marine spatial planning body effort. And how that is, how we do that and what the relationship is with the Regional Ocean Partnership, it really is yet to be determined pending our further discussions with the tribes, not only tribes in Washington, which I've been having some discussions with, but also tribes in Oregon and California. So that pot of money under Focus Area 2 is really to address those two primary concerns there.
Okay. Somebody asked that they saw on Focus Area 1 data ID identify important ecological areas and habitats and establish a regional planning body. They asked, how was it decided that data would focus on ecological areas and habitat as opposed to sustainable communities or fisheries? That wasn't decided. That was an example. That was an example of what we heard in a lot of different places. But we also did hear about sustainable communities and fisheries. Again, taking literally hundreds of pages of documents and condensing it to a 23-page PowerPoint presentation doesn't do some of this justice, and we acknowledge that. Somebody said, with the sum totaling 9.4 and 9.1 million for both years, and the fact that NOAA can fund all or parts of any proposal, why shoot low at 4.3 million? How about a tiered approach listed in the proposal that scales from high to low? I might start to tackle that. It's fairly aggressive to request 4.3 million given only 20 million is available. But I believe as we work through some of the details of this, there will be a tiered approach anyway to describe what the highest priorities might look like. Jessica, Brian, Bob, do you want to add to that?
This is Brian. I just think we have to deal in the real world, and with nine regional ocean partnerships out there, and the fact that the 20 million, by the time, my understanding is, by the time it gets to us, it's going to be, the actual money available is going to be more like 17.5 or somewhere in there. But I think 4.3 is a reasonable and actually a fairly aggressive amount to ask for.
What specifically do you plan to propose for decision support tools? Well, again, the focus of our proposal is going to be on describing outcomes. And so the next couple of days are going to be really critical in terms of going back through, mining through everything that was sent to us, and describing what those specific outcomes might be. We really need to focus on outcomes, what we want to have happen, versus who gets to do what at this stage. Stakeholder engagement requires a large commitment of funds. The $500,000 for regional management will probably mostly be used for establishing the planning body. It seems like there won't be much left over for funding on-the-ground stakeholder engagement. We might want to consider shifting some of the tools funds towards stakeholder involvement. Any comments from XCOM there?
This is Brian. I think if we can't involve stakeholders for $500,000, I mean, I absolutely think that is an amount that we should be able to work with.
And it was David that asked that question. And David, there was discussion about how little it might actually take to create the planning body. And so there was talk that much of that funding would likely go towards stakeholder engagement, just to be clear on that as well.
Yeah, and let me say that's absolutely true. I think creating the body is not going to be an expensive task. The whole thing is going to be coordination, and it's very difficult with three states figuring out whether we do independent workshops as we just did, whether we do more webinars, et cetera. But I certainly think we can work within that budget, and I do agree with you that the majority of the budget will be probably more of that actual outreach, unless Jessica or Bob have other thoughts.
Well, this is Bob Nichols. So my comment here would be, we have to remember that this is a one-year funding proposal. This is not getting marine spatial planning done all in one fell swoop. So there is going to be an ongoing and long-term stakeholder outreach engagement process. And so what you're seeing here is not the whole shebang. It's the first installment of a continued commitment by the West Coast Governor's Agreement to ensure stakeholder involvement and all along this process, how far it goes.
Thanks, Bob. What role do you see fisheries ecosystem-based management playing in marine spatial planning? It has been noticeably absent thus far, the discussion. So is there mutual exclusivity, or do you see a role to integrate fisheries ecosystem-based management with traditional ecosystem-based management and marine spatial planning? Well, an initial response I have is that I hope it hasn't been noticeably absent. One of the bullets right underneath sustainable coastal communities was fisheries. There were discussions about fisheries issues at each one of the state workshops. They came across in comments, and they've appeared in a variety of places. And it seems to be an essential component of marine spatial planning. Right. XCOM, anybody else have any comments?
Yeah, this is Bob Nichols. So let me add in a couple things. This is a this is a precise, goes back to that earlier question, what do we mean by sustainable? How do we work the environment with local communities? Fisheries is, you know, at the core center of that issue about how these two things work together, that there are some issues of concern as far as habitats and so forth, that from an environmental point of view, well, we want to know where those are, and so we can design management structures for fisheries that allows a vibrant and robust fishery, yet not run afoul on the environmental side. So this is a case in point where these two things work together, working on the habitat, working on the conservation side, and very much working with the fisheries being front and center as far as our working waterfronts and so forth, how these two things need to work together. That's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is that also required by the federal FFO is a very strong working relationship with the Pacific Fisheries Management Council. And we've already been in touch with them and have worked with them, and they will be very much a part and also be front and center as far as any marine spatial planning process is concerned. So that would be, like Lisa, I just want to emphasize this point that fisheries is very much a part of all of this.
Thanks, Bob. And I think I'm going
to... Yeah, to just add that I was asked this question in San Francisco at our workshop. And one thing to sort of mention is sort of historically, we've been very careful that we, the West Coast Governors Agreement, do not manage fishery take like the Pacific Fishery Management Council, and that's their role. What I think our role has been up till now is dealing with habitat, dealing with water quality, dealing with all the things that that hopefully sustain our fisheries. What's a little bit different about when we get into the marine spatial planning is that we will specifically now be working with the Pacific Fishery Management Council, so that maybe there'll be a little bit more of a marriage of the two, but without the confusion that, you know, we are not coming in and taking over in any way their role to manage the take of the fishery.
Thanks, Bob and Brian. I'm going to turn this one over to you guys as well. Are the outcomes for meetings with tribal nations different from the state-based workshops?
State that again. This is Bob Nichols.
Are the outcomes for meetings with tribal nations different from the state-based workshops?
I'm not quite sure what that. This is Bob Nichols. I'm not quite sure what that question is stating. I'm not sure I'm understanding here. But let me just step back and tell you kind of how I've tried to handle it on Washington's side, which is we have had discussions and will continue to have discussions with the tribes. That's basically our relationship with the tribes. All along have had those conversations with them, and the federal funding opportunity said, you know, directs and requires that we have those conversations with that the tribes be intimately involved in any marine spatial planning effort and regional planning body. How that will occur is unknown at this point, other than we know it must occur. We don't have the specifics on how that will occur. We don't have that in Washington. We have had some specific discussions about how that might work, tossing ideas back and forth and so forth, and having a good, you know, exchange with our Washington tribes. But how that fits into this broader proposal, it's way, you know, too soon to say. So we have the workshops on the one hand, where we have the public participation, and we have had the discussions with the tribes on our side. I think Oregon and California have had a similar kind of set of discussions, and how these two work together and integrate so that we can have one comprehensive planning process on the West Coast is yet to be determined, but pending further discussions.
Thanks, Bob. Generally, proposals provide information on who is going to do the work. This helps reviewers understand the credibility of the team. How do you plan to convey technical credibility without naming a project team? Our goal as part of the proposal is to share the stakeholder engagement process we've had for the last month and a half, which demonstrates the people that have been involved, the entities that have been involved, the ideas that they've submitted, the partnerships they've talked about, all of that can be part of this proposal in the appendices that we can also reference. So I don't have any doubt that the technical credibility and merits of the people on the West Coast won't come shining through on this proposal. It's an incredible group of people working up and down the coast. We've seen that just especially in the last month and a half as we've engaged in this process. So not naming a project team at this point is not necessarily detrimental to the proposal, a specific project team. Will the proposal to NOAA be shown online on or after December 10th? Yes. I have reviewed all of the 23 projects, and we're getting to the ends of the questions. I think there's only four questions left. I've reviewed all of the 23 projects, and there are some I like better than others. Will we have an opportunity to say which ones we favor, or is there no need because the request from the West Coast Governor's Agreement will be so general that there is no need? I think what we've tried to describe to you is a process where we've looked across all different inputs from workshops to online comments, to detailed project ideas. All of those have informed the buckets that we've created for the $4 million request and the $300,000 request. To say that one idea is better than another, that's just not where we're at. We're at this point. We wanted to use all the pieces of the stakeholder engagement that we've had to build those buckets and describe those outcomes. I don't know, Bob, Brian, Jessica, if you want to add to that. Then what would the proposed outcomes be for decision support tools, new tools, validation of existing tools, application of tools to case studies? What tools will be used? Well, Stephen, we just need more time at this point, again, just to mine through all of the information we received, the specific decision support tools that have been described, and to fully flesh that out in the proposal. And I am not prepared right now to be able to blow up those boxes and be able to answer those at this time. We need more time. It's taken this much time just to coalesce and bring together everything we've heard from all of you. And you're all continuing to comment on a daily basis, which is great. But it's a management of information thing at this point. It's confusing to me to have such specific projects suggested in that now we say there will only be a general application and other proposals will be accepted after 12:10. So I think I'm going to call this individual offline and have a chat about that because what we're going to be describing in the proposal are outcomes that we want to achieve and not a specific project, but the outcomes and the elements of how we might achieve those outcomes versus a specific project. Okay? So there have been several thank yous that have come on through the line as well. We appreciate that. We appreciate everything that all of you have done to date to bring us this far. And the gentleman that I just made that last statement to said, I think I finally get it with 3 exclamation points. So that's a good thing. So thank you, everybody. And we are going to get working quickly to draft a proposal and best represent the West Coast. And we will work very hard to do that. So thanks, everybody. Have a great day.